She was all surprised. She was
like, they held up an iPad and live streamed pictures from Chief here, holding it up in the back of the speaker when they're all like speaking. And we're all like, this is the new face of demonstrations. And all like, you know, this sort of like placard, you know,
like
whatever. It'll be like, everything
will
be great. It was actually super cool. Look, we're going to be
surprised.
We're not starting the horseshoe.
This is the horseshoe.
You want a sorry bob?
For those folks who feel like sitting around talking about anarchism, but if you don't want to, you don't have to stay. But anyway, figure out this analysis.
We're going to try to convince her to.
I'll give you guys a start. No, but people don't also have to. You can if you want. You can do a kitchen thing and then I'll just start.
We had a show there one time. It was cool.
Oh Josh, Kat is so cute.
Thank you.
Yeah, what's his name?
His name's Stinksy.
Stinksy. Oh, I've seen his art. It's really great. Yeah.
He's very talented with only three legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you should just do it. Yeah.
No, but it's a funny thing. It shows. Everyone's like, who is it? Someone said, are you doing spoken word? I'm like, no, I don't think so.
You should say, I am speaking words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay, hey, hi. I'm Cindy Milstein, and I met David during the lead-up to anarchist organizing, as they do every, it's going to start again, against the RNC and the DNC. When people are running for things called presidents, there's always anarchists that are like, we need to do something. And so I met David during all that, doing stuff ahead and then at the DNC and stuff like that. So, and I really didn't even know he was Spoon Boy until I was walking down the street with you in DC and someone all of a sudden was like, oh my God, it's Spoon! And I was like, what is that? It was funny. I think I knew you like 2 years before. So we're also both involved in a project called the Institute for Anarchist Studies, which is actually not an institute, and some of us do study, but it's to actually get people to take anarchism more seriously and write about it and talk about strategy and theory, and we basically ask anarchists for money and give money away to other anarchists and do theory conferences and books, and I have a little book called Anarchism and Its Aspirations, which is the first part of the series, and it's going to be a series. And the next one is out, which I think the folks that are starting the non-existent but soon-to-be-existent info shop here, Bonfire, have a copy of, called Oppose and Propose, which is about this folks in Philly and elsewhere in the 70s and 80s that did something called Movement for a New Society. And it's a really cool book because it's like, you read it and you go, wow, that sounds a lot like anarchism right now. So I really recommend it. And we're going to do a whole series of those books. So first, what I wanted to say is how many people... you don't have to be an anarchist, but how many people like understand themselves to be anarchists? And how many are vaguely anti-authoritarian? Let's add that category. Or autonomous Marxists. Okay. And how many people think they are just kind of curious about anarchism and don't know that much about it? Okay. So I'm going to try to. This is what I really want to thank. David had this idea that I would come along with him and in places where people. DIY has become like a cool thing or just something but the politics has been removed from it. And capitalism's also doing that. We were talking about that today, about how music is increasingly becoming do-it-yourself for everyone, and it's free, and people are downloading it, and so it becomes this funny thing where capitalism takes what we do and love and has an edge to it and tries to just make it. And on the one hand, it's cool because people will start having music for free in different ways, but on the other hand, it gets rid of this antagonism against this horrible society that we hate and want to change and envisioning a different world. And so I was going around trying to encourage people who aren't anarchists to think about being radical. So for the person in the room who doesn't know as much, I'll try to do a little bit overview of anarchism, but I also think there's so many people that are anarchists, I wanted to maybe have a discussion about it. And maybe I'll talk for like 15 minutes and then we can just have discussion and decide when we think it's been enough. So in a half hour or so or whatever, people want to stay. First I actually, just to kind of overview what anarchism is, and I'm going to try to do this in a few ways. One is, I just mentioned this little book project, I'm going to kind of use it. What I think is really cool about anarchists is anarchists try to do things in the here and now that begin to prefigure the world they want to see. So I'm just gonna use example, because I've realized how awkward I feel. Like, I write a lot, that's something I do for a political project, and why I do talks like this is because I want people to change the world. And part of the way we do that is to give each other gifts of thinking about how we can do that and reminding people, and people do that for me, and I organize spaces where people do that for each other. And so what I like about this book series is the book series is a way for us as radicals to think about how we would get people to think about different ideas in a way within capitalism that tries to subvert it. So I want to use that as a little example, because it's still this weird commodity where I'm like, what? You know, you're paying money for something, which feels really awkward and creates this funny relationship. But the book series, the Institute for Anarchist Studies, is Anarchism in a Microcosm for me as a practice, is we felt that new ideas need to be out there in anarchism to shake up people's thinking. And so the Institute for Anarchist Studies is an all-volunteer collective of people who get together and long distance and face-to-face to have debates about what they think should be happening in anarchism and try to, you know, figure out how to make anarchism stronger in theory and practice. And there's another collective called AK Press, which is a publishing collective that's self-managed, and they make decisions directly democratically together to run a publishing company that's an anarchist publishing company within capitalism. But they try to do it in a way where they're getting out ideas that people wouldn't see otherwise, and they have direct democratic control over the workplace, and they're publishing the series. And the third collective is Just Seeds Collective, which is about 24 artists, some of whom are anarchists and some of whom aren't, who do it because they to some degree want to make a little bit of a living, so they're also trying to understand how you do a self-managed workplace. But their other thing is, how do you make art that's political, that contests the present? So I'll just tell a cute story about them that I think it's cute. They end up doing most of the graphics that you saw if you were following what happened in Wisconsin when people took over the Capitol. Almost a lot of the images were Just Seeds artists, and they all did it for free, because they do about 50% of their work for free. They do the People's History poster series, if you know that. And so they did tons and tons of work, and it got everywhere, and that was their intention, is to share it. And my friend who runs the website in the distro said suddenly their sales shot up, and they had all these people in Madison going, can you sign us up, you know, for your Wisconsin line? We want to start selling it. And they're like, we don't, it's free. And, and it's meant because we want to see a revolution happen. And they're like, but can we sign up to get a, you know? And they were like, it was such a tension where people can't understand, but it was a teaching moment when they could try to explain, you know, but it's this dilemma. So the three of us collectives do this book series, and most of the money from the book series goes back to the Institute for Anarchist Studies to fund other writers to have time to write, to be able to put out other ideas, other radicals, and so it's cool. And so what it is three collectives that are all directly democratic, face-to-face, self-managed, self-organized, are confederating, which I understand anarchism, to do a project that's greater than the three of them alone, if that makes sense, to contest capitalism in the state and hierarchy, but to do it in a way that shows we could maybe do things differently, but it's still stuck within capitalism, the state, and the commodity and everything. So to me, that's the beginning in a nutshell of anarchists, like, what can we do positively that pushes a different model, but still ultimately looks like something we see within capitalism, which is why we have to do something completely different. So in a nutshell, anarchism, I like to think about anarchism is, this is a DIY scene that we're all in right now. And I think what anarchism ultimately is about is doing it ourselves, which is actually a different concept, but both combined at the same time. So how do we become who we want to be individually? But sadly, a lot of do-it-yourself is simply like, how can I do it myself? How can I have, you know, just make a better life within this horrible society we live in? And I think anarchism is asking us to say, most of us feel really awful about this world we live in, and what is that? Whether it's about our gender or the fact that, you know, we can't afford an education because it's too expensive, or we just feel really lonely and alienated from the world, or all these things that we can't pinpoint. Anarchism saying, if we actually did it together, we'd feel this new sense of empowerment, and a feeling that the world is ours. And I think actually right now at this historical moment, the world's far, far ahead of anarchism in a lot of ways. I want to again look at Wisconsin. I think it's a really interesting moment into how we understand anarchism, or what happened in Egypt. Some friends and I in San Francisco who are anarchists wanted to make a solidarity banner for people taking over that square in Egypt and making a city within a city of their own. And so we were sitting around one night at like 10 or 11 going, oh my God, there's a huge solidarity demonstration tomorrow. We got to think of a slogan. And so we were trying to look at what people themselves were saying in Egypt about what was happening. And this woman none of us knew walked in, and she was like listening to us debate what we wanted to write. And we're like, oh, what can we say? And someone, one of my housemates said, oh, how about, you know, long live the do-it-ourselves revolution. And I was like, oh, I think that still sounds like, too, you know, United States, you know, DIY scene. And the one behind us who none of us knew, she she's like, no, that's exactly what's happening in the square. And we're like, who are you? And she goes, I'm actually Egyptian, and I'm an anarchist, and I'm flying back to the square tomorrow. My family's in the square, and I can do it in Arabic. And we're like, oh, my God. But she goes, that's exactly what's happening. She goes, my family's there. We're there. She goes, we all took back our society. She goes, most people aren't anarchists. And she goes, I'm one of the like five people I know in Egypt that's an anarchist. But she goes, suddenly everyone realized their power. And she goes, I can't explain it, but this moment when suddenly each person turned to each other and said, here we are in our city, and we can walk into this space, and together we can make it what we want it to be. And so this to me, that exemplifies how anarchists think about the world. The similar ways where one story I really love about, I'll just kind of use anecdotes, I guess we're all in anecdotal mood tonight, where the stories that were so beautiful about thinking about what happened in Egypt, where people have, like here, have pretty bad health care, and people are in the square, and people are needing health care, and needing, you know, also, and so people that are doctors and nurses and have skills just take over fast, get other people to help them take over fast food restaurant or an alley and set up clinics and offer free health care. And other people are there to learn skills and share skills. And together, people create a space in a city where everybody has health care in a way that looks different. And why wouldn't that work all the time? But the doctors and the nurses need to eat. So people in a square go, okay, how are we going to feed everyone in a square? So they set up communal kitchens. And someone was telling me a story that I met an Egyptian too that had been back and forth between the square. And they said people on the outskirts, all the houses on the outskirts of the squares became communal kitchens where people ran back and forth and cooked things and brought them back into the square to serve. And then people serving would be like when they were done serving and figuring out how to cook, the next person who would come up, they would say, I'm going to teach you how to do it if you don't know. And once they felt like they were okay with what they needed to do, they took that person's place and that other person went to do something else. So this way in which anarchists empower each other. So people had healthcare and people had food and then people had garbage and they're like, what are we going to do? So they formed these committees that face-to-face met to figure out, well, what would we do with garbage and tens of thousands of people? And they figured out a system that was, again, directly face-to-face democratic to do it themselves. But what I love about the story is they're like, but we should recycle things and be cool and more ecological than we already are. And there's actually no recycling program in Cairo. And people created a recycling, directly democratic, face-to-face system of providing each other with cleaning up the space, where not everyone did it, but everyone figured out how it would work. So basically in 18 days, people created a city within a city. So what I want to kind of emphasize about how I understand anarchism is it's ultimately about us doing things together on the face-to-face level. But at this moment, there's all these movements showing us that it's ultimately about doing that in society, not just among ourselves. And I really like when you were saying, Kara, earlier, it's like this hard thing where we're like, oh my God, how can we change the world all at once? A lot of people, when I talk about anarchism, are like, well, how would that work on the global level? Well, you know, blah, 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 people are bad, blah, all these questions. But part of it's us practicing. So another story was we did a show the other night for a benefit for the Blood Orange Info Shop in Riverside. And one of the people that started it said, you know, they started it and a few people got it going and were really excited. He said, I was one of the main people and, you know, like I had the vision, you know, but he goes, yeah, other people were there and we get going. He goes, you know, we kind of got in, we kind of got a space and we started meeting and all these other people got excited about the space. And he said, and then people came to meetings because it's all volunteer and people have face-to-face meetings, which is how anarchism works, is a politics of self-organization and self-governance where we figure out together what we want it to look like. And he goes, in the beginning of the meetings when they had a space, people were like, you do too much in this space. You have this informal authority in this space. You're too dominant. And how can we decenter that? And some other people said, yeah, and this space feels pretty heteronormative and I don't feel comfortable as a queer person here. And how can we figure that out? And he said they had four or five, he goes, it was really hard for me to hear that. And he goes, I don't do it because I want to control other people. I do it because I have all these ideas and I like doing things. And I feel like this is an exciting project. And he goes, I didn't intentionally mean to do it to people. You know, and he goes, and people that felt like it was too straight a space were like not intentionally trying to do it to each other, but we're really, David was talking about this, we're really socialized and damaged by this society. You know, we're socialized, no matter how queer we try to be, we still are socialized to think about, you know, people in categories or look at people and make assumptions. And so he said they had a series of four to five really, really hard meetings where face-to-face they just talked about and problem-solved about these informal power dynamics and the way the space felt uncomfortable in ways and really listened to and dialogued and then made decisions and problem-solved and then made decisions about how they wanted to make changes and restructure it. And he said those discussion was really hard and they were really difficult problems and nobody left. And we became closer and closer through the process. And at the end, that space and that collective and that project was even stronger. And I really loved seeing that space because they've been around since November. And one thing that came out of that was, plug something that happens here. There's a weekly anarchist cafe, which we could talk about a little bit more, that happens for people. Open discussion group on anarchism every Sunday, 11 a.m., 1 p.m.
It actually starts at noon now.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Every Sunday at 11 noon. And there are flyers if you want to know where. But they said they were doing the same thing that was a monthly discussion group about anarchism. And because of these conversations about how sort of heteronormative the space had felt, people had gone to that discussion group too and publicly said, these discussions don't feel like they're, you know, like including me. And so out of that now there's two discussion groups. So some people go to both each month. One is on anarchism in general, one's on queering anarchism. And it's really cool. It's not antagonistic, it's just beautiful. Because people are like, and that's what I'm gonna end on, open it up for. What I love about anarchism is actually saying, how can we balance what it means to be a free person in a free society? And that freedom is the core of that, right? But freedom is about us self-organizing and self-determining and self-managing and self-governing. And the way we do that is in this incredible area of practicing, of the difficult practice of balancing, you know, me saying, God, this space feels really heteronormative. How do I make this space not feel like that without making you guys all feel like shit about that? And us figuring out that together to become stronger, and us making a decision, having power. Because ultimately, anarchism's saying we need to have a different form of social organization. It's about making power horizontal and egalitarian and shared and collective and loving and cooperative. And we're all fucked up as human beings, and we always will be. And I really like David saying we're malleable. I don't know if it's all socialization. I don't think it's biological. I think to some degree it's also, I would add, it's institutions systemically. So we have these institutions like capitalism and the state that also both socialize us but actually control us and can beat us up and imprison us and can enforce things. So anarchism is saying, how can we create a non-hierarchical society that attacks structures and creates new structures in their place? I don't think institutions are a bad thing. They are when they're hierarchical. But we can, you know, info shops, these spaces can become institutions. This house has become an institution, so it's really heartbreaking to hear you're going to lose the house. But it's a self-organized, do-it-ourselves space that we create for each other, and that's really beautiful. So, we could just have a more open conversation. I wanted to end on one other thing. I always talk longer than I think I will. This historical moment, I think, is really a really important moment for people who understand they want to make the world horizontal, or where power from below and doing it ourselves together. Because not only are there massive amounts of people around the world that get that in ways we don't. Again, I really like Madison, especially, was really empowering to me here in the United States, where you think it's never going to goddamn happen here. And a bunch of people who were liberals and progressive walked into a Capitol building and wanted to testify for a bill, against a bill. And most of us as anarchists would go, that'll never get anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And then they were saying, you can't get in to testify for that bill unless there's going to be a really long line and we're not doing it until the next morning. So you have to, and all these people are like, I don't want to lose my place in line, so I'm going to stay overnight. And then they're like, it's actually legal to stay in the building. And so a friend of mine was telling me this was there, and she was like, it was cool. People were like, oh my God, we're going to stay here tonight. The floor's kind of cold. What are we going to do? Could some people go home and get sleeping bags? Could some people get food? Could some people get this? You know, oh, we have some kids. Could some people figure out for them to do? And suddenly they had decided, without knowing it, to self-manage and occupy a Capitol building. I was like, if us anarchists could be that. And again, for 3 weeks, people created this space of autonomy where they figured out how to do that. But this is a really fortunate time for those of us. What's unique is, as anarchists, is we bring this whole set of evaluative tools and practices and skills. And this is a great moment for us to say, what would self-governance look like? What would it look like to have not capitalism? What would it look like to have not heteronormativity? What would it look like to have, you know, forms of us taking back things that people are upset about? Because I don't think at this historical moment we have to convince people capitalism's bad. I think Madison shows that people think government, the way it's happening, is bad. I think there's a whole host of ways, the ecological crisis, a whole bunch of ways in which people get it. And what we're going to be good at, I think, is saying, here's some tools that we can now do it ourselves together because we have these ways of, and we can build on that. So I really want to see this as an empowering moment, even though it also feels like a kind of really disempowering moment. So I really want to end on that kind of upbeat, hopeful note that it's like a really good time. And there's lots of cool things from here in this town trying to get a space. And I also want to plug the LA Anarchist Book Fair, which is pretty close, and there's some flyers in there, which is happening June 25th. And why don't we just have a conversation or questions or whatever. It's about 10 of 11, so one up for like 20 minutes or so, and then if people want to stick around and keep talking, we can, because I asked the folks who live here, but if people don't want to, we also don't have to. Did that sort of, because you were the one, but I don't want to spotlight, you were the one person
Sorry, I was gonna say, just like every Sunday, right now it's at Java Station, right? It's still at Java Station. I wasn't there last week. So Java Station at noon on Sunday, there's an anarchist discussion group that meets weekly. But I guess maybe something that I think about a lot within anarchism is that looking out through the internet mostly, but also through friends at the movement nationwide, it doesn't really look like a movement. And I wonder like what other people think about that, because oftentimes it seems like isolated scenes and stuff, and like movements seem like these things that happen in other countries or in the past, and like I don't see like anarchism as a movement, and I don't know what it would mean for it to be a movement, or if that's even something we want, but like that seems something that discourages me sometimes. So I'm wondering if anyone else has thought about that. And like
I think it's important that like we have a decision to either participate in like what the government feeds out or to not, and like that's part of freedom. So it's like if you don't really like the structures that everyone seems to be going along with, like you should have the freedom to like choose to live your own life and like make your own decisions. I think there's like a lot of pressures to follow a certain like order, but it might not make the most sense.
I think what's hard, I just read a lovely book I really want to recommend highly. It's although it's absurdly expensive, so get it and copy it. It's Crack Capitalism, CRACK, by John Holloway, who's like an autonomous Marxist, Zapatismo sort of anarchist, really beautiful writer. And it's this double-edged thing where it's like if we don't crack, like destroy capitalism, we can never do these things. But on the other hand, it's this beautiful thing about actually feeling like there's ways in which, and this is kind of addressing the movement thing, there's ways in which we already have these cracks and that we are that. And I don't know, and part of it's about these moments where us taking control of our life, but they're actually in opposition to each other. So to some degree, it is about us deciding we can, you know, have these counter things. But I really appreciate what you were saying about anarchism's like a really pretty strong subculture, and we need that to remember who we are. But we're worse at countering the dominant culture, and that's a huge thing. And that actually, like John Holloway talks about, like taking these cracks and opening them up. And I really like the book because it's also really lovely because he starts out with these just little examples in which people realize their own power to self-determine. So I think like one of the jobs of anarchists is us to do that, but also like notice that other people are doing that right now. Because I think that's how we're not becoming, in a way. Part of it's us making the connections, that, which is why I'm emphasizing that right now. I've been kind of discouraged. I travel around a lot talking about anarchists and anarchists. Like, ooh, the stuff in Wisconsin, that was stupid. They should have rioted at the end instead of left the steakhouse. And I'm like, we can't occupy anything that long and actually create a self-managed like space where people feel empowered. And other things will, I believe other things will come of that, because people, that feels so different. People don't forget those things. And just because a week later they didn't, and so I think anarchists have become really skeptical of anyone who's not an anarchist that's doing this, and therefore are missing the moments. And John Holloway's book's really beautiful because he points out these moments that we, I think, have forgotten to see.
I think to kind of talk about what Zach was saying, like one thing that like helps strengthen the movement and like bring it together is like letting people, not just like your friends in the scene, but like your family and like your coworkers, and like especially your coworkers, know like your political beliefs, and like not that you have to like wear it, like don't wear it as like a badge or like a shield, but just like be open and like talk to people about it, like talk to people that you wouldn't like normally talk to about it. And I think that helps bring it, because it brings new people in and it makes it a little bit less subcultural, which I think can be good and bad. It makes it a little easier to be co-opted, but it also, like, you're never gonna have a subculture overthrow the government if it's just a subculture forever. But I think that's something that, like, as anarchists, we can all do, is just, like, talk to people, be open about your politics, and, like, yeah, talk to your parents. I do. My dad's almost an anarchist. I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Oh,
people's definitions, like just like what would you say in one sentence if someone asked you? Because I know like what I say, and I'm just wondering like what does everybody else say? If anybody feels comfortable.
Everyone's probably heard me say this one already. I call myself an anarchist more as a descriptive thing than a prescriptive identity. Taking the idea of organizing or having relationships that are anti-hierarchical, counter-hierarchical, and understanding that both on an interpersonal level and a geopolitical level, or larger political level, and so in a sense, to me, anarchism is more of an interpersonal philosophy that I think, well, this works between people on a personal level. There's no reason in my mind and in my experiences why it can't or shouldn't work on a larger scale.
Yeah, I guess to kind of piggyback, I work with the Student Film Worker Alliance and the Coalition of Lockley Workers, which I don't know how many people know who they are, but it's like a film worker organization in Immokalee, Florida. Of in Gallup, Mexico. It's kind of funny that people think I go to Florida, but and I got schooled in the Student Film Worker Alliance as a white male in a mostly people of color queer organization. But the thing that I think about when I think about my own personal anarchism working with people who are not coming from like an anarchist background, but still working together, still doing it together, still making these spaces, and still doing these things. I like to think of like along those lines of like we make the road by walking. Like we might have these ideas of what the road is going to look like, or where we're going, but in terms of like being real with ourselves and being real with each other, like we literally make the road by walking. And I think we should make space for us to be able to get somewhere that we might not think about where we're going.
I'm going to be contentious, though, actually, about anarchism. I think here's one thing I'm really disturbed about. It's not about what both you said, but I feel like part of it is that if we don't have an idea of where we're going, that you can't even problem solve about how to get there, which doesn't mean you won't just go that, you know, that we don't even know how to get there, really, but we have to know sort of some sense of where we're going. So on the one hand, yes, it is like how we relate to each other, but scaling it up, it looks different, right? So, and I don't know what that looks like either. So I don't know what it would look like, except there's like autonomous regions, so there's all sorts of other things. But it's been interesting. I was just at a thing in Chicago called Finding Our Roots, and the whole weekend theme was solidarity. And like, it was just astonishing to the organizers and myself. It's like people just were questioning whether solidarity was even a good category anymore. They're basically like, all you can do is kind of care for yourself, and maybe you can count on one or two friends, but basically everybody's going to, including other anarchists. And I was like, whoa. You know, which just shows you how damaged we are, but also if that's the social vision of anarchism. So it's just disturbing to me within like scaling up to a movement or anything if we understand ourselves as really adamant, which isn't to discourage either. It wasn't comedy, and your definitions of anarchism were both great, but in a way us as anarchists countering the fact that to some degree that's true, but us having some sense of what that looks like. So
I actually would disagree. I feel that one of the strengths of anarchism is that it doesn't know what it's going to look like. But I'm actually going to formulate my disagreement as a response to Zach's question about the movement, because I like tangents. I think similarly, one of the strengths of anarchism is that it doesn't require a movement. It doesn't require a unifying movement in which we all have a unified vision of what we're doing and what it's looking like. Precisely because we have scenes all over, and I think actually your solidarity point is precisely,
yeah.
For me, solidarity is precisely being able to stand in solidarity with someone when I don't agree,
yep,
with them completely, when I don't even see where they're going, what their position is. And so I think, I don't think that would add up to a movement, but it adds up to something else. It adds up to a network of solidarity. And I think that's one of anarchism's strengths. I understand it's a little bit frustrating, because you look out and you don't necessarily see something that's exactly you, but I think part of anarchism is learning to say, I your position of resistance, I don't understand it completely, but I'm going to stand in solidarity with it anyway. So not having a vision of where we're going, I think, is a strength, because I think part of anarchism is always standing where you are and finding that resistance. And what you were saying earlier, that we're always within capitalism. We live in a capitalist world, and I can't imagine. I think any world I imagine is going to be so structured by my socialization in the capitalist world that I shouldn't trust it to some extent. And so I'm much better off just exploiting those cracks as much as possible, and you know, trusting other people, even if I don't fully understand their position, and then leaving it to someone else later.
But I guess I wasn't advocating like a blueprint. I think what's interesting in anarchism, I'm just going to be contentious and argue with you. This is what's fun about anarchism, is that we figure out how to argue about this, is that this, it's been disturbing to me, is that, and I really appreciated Zach has written a little flyer out there, which I haven't read yet, about gift economy. But we have to start, I wasn't like, here's the exactly what we want, but it's really disturbing to me within anarchism that it's about, like, let's just level everything and then we'll figure out. But to me, what's been most beautiful about anarchism, which is why I chose, like, most of what I focus on this little book, is the ethics, is, like, in a way, we have this set of beliefs and values. So what is it about the gift economy that points past capitalism? I have to be able to explain that, even if I have no idea what the hell that means, even though I know it's already fraught by my socialization within capitalism. Otherwise, there's nothing. That's what I meant by moving towards something. Like, to me, anarchism is an evaluative tool of, is this hierarchical or non-hierarchical? And then why do we support, right? That's why I point to Wisconsin, is like, to just say that was nothing because it failed misses the point that thousands of people engaged in non-hierarchical forms of self-organization that might begin to be models. And some of it points past capitalism or points past, you know, racism or points past these things, even though we don't even know what that looks like. That's sort of what I meant. And I'm just disturbed by, these are me being disturbed by tendencies where anarchists are like, we can't even talk about that. Even that is too fraught with. You know, but I also agree with you on that. Like, what is a movement versus not? And I don't think we would maybe even
have to. No, I mean, I would say, precisely the gift economy example, where you would say gift economy is a good response to capitalism, but I don't think we as anarchists would ever advocate we want a gift economy
right,
everywhere.
Right, exactly, because we don't even know what that looks like.
No, exactly. But we can say, well, gift economy is a good response to how to do things a little bit better within the capitalist system. So, I think we're much closer.
Well, that's why I really like. That's why I really recommend John Holloway's book, because he really talks about, like, what is underlying this moment where you decide to self-determine. He has this funny example of that he uses throughout his book about. He has all these examples, but he's like, there's a girl in Korea. He picks. I don't even know why. And she's supposed to go to work, and she wakes up and she's like, I don't feel like going to work. I feel like going to a park and reading a book. And he goes, that's not revolution, and she's not going to necessarily become a radical, and that isn't going to bring down capitalism, but her feeling that she can take time back into her life and take control about what she's going to do that day is the beginning of undoing what capitalism takes from us, is the idea that we could make our day ourselves. And so he uses her throughout the book, teasing out, well, maybe she'll write a book, maybe she'll not like what, you know, maybe she'll do this, and or maybe she'll just go back to work the next day. But what is it that is at the core that's beginning to contest the values of that? And so the gift economy thing is to me really interesting because it contests this idea that the way we understand our relationship to each other is through equivalent exchange or obligation, or, you know, you're kind of forced to get a gift, or that a gift is monetary. But more than that, it's this relationship of equivalency. If I get a gift, I have to kind of feel compelled to give something back that's equivalent, even if I don't want to. And that capitalism structures that, and a gift economy starts structuring us to think about what would it look like when things aren't necessarily equivalent, or we don't know if we're going to get something back, but maybe we will later. And all these, the surprise of what it could be, and all these ways in which it breaks the logic of how we think. So, I'm rambling too much. Anyone else want to throw in a debate? I won't debate you if you talk.
I'd be really interested to hear more about the Finding Our Roots conference, because I was invited to go by a friend of mine who helped organize it. And, you know, the theme of solidarity seems like such a perfect place to start. And I'd just really like to hear, I don't know, a little more.
Are there other comments? I can talk about that more briefly, too.
Well, I don't feel like create a non-class based society. So how do we work, and I'm talking economics, really economics right now, but how do we do classless organizing if we believe in a classless society?
Yeah, people look at other contemporary anarchist dilemmas. Those are actually really good questions. The movement and the classless society organizing. The definitions of anarchism. I don't want to go too specifically into the Finding Our Roots conference,
sure.
But I just maybe point out a couple things. It was in Chicago. I think some of this sort of answers, again, the movement question to me is like, what do we do right now at this historical moment as anarchists? Because I don't know whether it's called a movement or not, but I think anarchists are a pretty, anarchists right now are pretty atomized and fragmented, and I ended up doing something at the Finding Our Roots conference that was called Solidarity Within Our Circle, but my premise was we're fighting each other more than we're actually fighting anything outside of us, and gave examples of that. And actually, when we had a discussion where people, I just listened for 45 minutes, and people were much more discouraged than I was, which was actually really sad. And that people thought it was that we were, and it was tearing each other apart. And that, so for me, part of it's creating spaces where we can remember that sense of like what the shared, and that we don't have, what you were saying, that we can have each other's back, that we have something that unifies us as anarchists. There aren't that many people in the world that have this systemic understanding of the whole of life needs to be non-hierarchical. And so that is what I really think makes anarchism unique. I mean, there are other political philosophies that are really closely aligned, and that's the other beautiful part about this historical moment. I actually think the word anarchism should disappear soon, and autonomous Marxism and Zapatismo, and there's this whole group of us that want a world from below, and maybe we could get rid of labels at some point soon. But what's distinguished, to me, what distinguishes, what binds us together is this overarching understanding that we want a non-hierarchical society, not just pieces of it, right? So, and that's pretty distinctive about anarchists. So right now it seems to me like part of this is we need to figure out ways in which we can feel less atomized from each other and have these really hard conversations, which what's an interesting new innovative strategy if we actually want a classless society, or how do we start binding ourselves together, or how do we not hate each other? Because I feel like it's pretty bleak within anarchist circles right now and pretty hopeless, which feels really sad to me. But so creating spaces, so the Finding Our Roots conference, which I want to point to, I think is really important right now, is spaces where we can remember what it means to listen to each other and be open enough to each other to know we're actually in this together, to build towards something, to fight all these things and prefigure a different world together. Maybe just the point of creating spaces. So Chicago anarchists, most of whom seem to dislike each other and have tremendous factional fights. I was joking, they had a huge split over someone making vegan cupcakes in a neighborhood. Because other people thought that was gentrification, so a bunch of anarchists didn't show up to the conference and aren't talking to each other over vegan cupcakes. Not to make lightly of gentrification, but cupcakes have been a part of upscaling things, but, you know, is that what we want to not talk to each other over? We could maybe argue in person about it. And so the Finding Our Roots conference was anarchists together in Chicago that don't actually talk to each other much and don't get along, decided to organize a conference together. This is the fourth one where they pick a theme, and they just create a space for conversation around one theme. And everybody through the whole weekend kept saying how sad it was that people feel so not in solidarity with each other when that was the theme. And they were all like, oh, if only this was a week, because it really also started to break down the feelings of us not having solidarity. Because people told, there were beautiful workshops on people doing work at the border around no more deaths, for instance, for immigration and stuff, in very collective, non-hierarchical ways to deal with people's human suffering at this historical moment, which is very real. Right? And there were other great, I just went through workshop after workshop, which is really great acts of solidarity, and then everybody looked at each other and was angry at each other and I was like, this is so interesting where there's anarchists doing really great isolated work with people who aren't anarchists, but we can't even in a room together. So maybe it's the beginning of creating spaces like that. So Finding Our Roots is both really wonderful and really disturbing at the same time.
Yeah.
So I actually really want to encourage people here to go to your weekly anarchist discussion group and find each other. If those of you who read The Coming Insurrection, I don't like a lot about that, but what I love is it's actually trying to get at what's happening in capitalism right now. We need to be doing more of that, and they did the really good hard work of that. And find each other isn't to find the five people that you agree with and then fuck the rest of them, because that's sort of what that book has translated into. Find your friends and everyone else is your enemy. But actually, I take seriously, we need to find each other as anarchists again. So it's opening up space for us that are open. I do an anarchist salon Francisco at Station 40, if you come through San Francisco, once a month. And I've been really discouraged by the low level of discussion. But what I just did an evaluation. The last salon was on what do you think of the salon? And everybody universally said this has been the best space because it's the only thing every month where anyone can come. You know, I really heavily moderate it, so everyone has to be nice to each other. But we can disagree, and everyone's like, I feel safe here. I feel like I can talk. I feel like I've created bonds. A bunch of us have actually found each other and are starting new projects. This is a really important space, and that's both sad to me that that's everyone kept saying this is the one space that happens, and there are thousands of anarchists in San Francisco. But on the other hand, it's also beautiful because people are real. It's interesting to see that people are actually. So I would encourage you here to actually take that seriously and spend time working with each other. Because the second part to your, I think about building, I really think that's a really good question about how do we build from here, is first we have to find each other to have these hard conversations and strategize, and we need to do that in the places we live with the people that are you're going to work with. So, I and some other people did this series that I always wanted to do hundreds of them around the country, and I only did three or four called Taking Ourselves Seriously, just to bring anarchists together to ask what that would mean, and people hated that title. Either they were like, we already do, you know, or we don't want to take ourselves seriously. That's mostly what people said. But people were angry and they came to it. So I would encourage you to do a workshop here saying, what does it mean to take anarchism seriously? Because it gets people provoked and you get a big turnout. And actually have conversations about the hard questions. But the next thing is us building an infrastructure. The fact that, for me, spaces disappear is really sad. But if we could have more mutual aid between spaces, have networks between spaces, actually offer solidarity in the form of helping to pitch in toward each other, like start strategizing about how these things could start interlinking. The far right's really good at decentralized, non-hierarchical forms of organization to create power, to fuck over a lot of people like women's bodies right now, and a whole bunch of other things. But they've done that a lot on the very grassroots level by strategizing how to get there, and I think we could do well to do some of that. Doesn't mean we have to have hierarchical, but that was why I used, I'll end on this, why I used a book example at the beginning, is how would it mean to do these decentralized projects that linked up and became stronger, and I think anarchists actually need to think about what that looks like. All of us move around constantly, and what if every city we moved into, we knew there was a way to plug into each other's projects because we actually had relationships, so we weren't scared to leave the project we started because we knew there were other people that we'd mentored, and we would go to other cities where we knew we could look into, and we're not good at thinking that way. We all just kind of travel around because it's miserable to live everywhere. And I actually think right now it's good to feel miserable in a way, even though I hate feeling miserable, because if you feel comfortable, this is the John Holloway's book again. I've just really loved his book. He's like, we're crazy and unhappy, and in a way that's our role, is to be misfits. We don't fit. I love that we use that word. And that's a hard position to not fit and feel uncomfortable. So we create a subculture to feel comfortable. But I really like a subculture thinking that we're below a culture that we hate. And so to get rid of that culture, we have to strategize to think about how to do that. But we have to, you know. But I think anarchists could do well to think about what would it mean to strategize to actually have more sources. And so I really liked, kudos to a project I just heard about, starting a publishing project, anarchist stories about how we stay in this for the long term, and that's actually a really serious question within anarchism, multi-generational, but doing more of that. So, and so to answer, I'll end because whoever wants to stay, we can keep talking, but I also want people to be able to leave if they want. I would say just like actually encourage a lot of people to create spaces, both physical and then spaces for us to have dialogue and decision making, and that seems kind of boring and tedious and not like the exciting fighting, you know, in the streets, which we need to do too. We should do both at the same time, but to strategize what to do instead of kind of falling back on the same boring things we do all the time, because I think we're not good at that. So I live in the Bay, and everyone always thinks we're really cutting edge there, and there's a really great movement in the United Kingdom called UK Uncut, where people are opposing foreclosures and things like that in the banks, and so people took over a bunch of banks autonomously, and they had a website you could post what you did, and then everybody got excited, and suddenly there were 50 separate projects where everybody was just in their own city figuring out what to do. And they went in the banks, which are they pinpointed the source of taking away things from people, the collapse of everything in the world. And they set up a daycare center in one or a school in another. They just literally, I don't know if you guys heard about this movie, I'm just totally like upset about this, but they just basically took all the kindergartners, let's say, from one school that was about to be defunded and all their books and all their toys and the teachers, and they just walked in the bank when the door opened and set up and pretended the bank wasn't there and just ran the school that day. Mm-hmm. And people did everything from healthcare to laundry to et cetera in all these different banks all over the country. It was really cool. They're just like, these are cool buildings. We can do what we do here because you're taking away what we have there. And so it was really cool, and it was decentralized. Nobody told so in the United States, it's just come to San Francisco, and this guy showed up at my base where I live. Everybody comes there when they come to San Francisco, so I meet everybody in the world. And this guy's like, he's like, I'm here from U.S. Uncut to organize all you in San Francisco. And I'm like, where did you come from? And he's like, Portland or Olympia. And he's like, you guys won't know what to do. And so he's been in San Francisco for 2 weeks running around to get us to do, you know. And I was like, wait a minute, okay, this feels like a not anarchist mode, which is, I was like, I don't even know why. Anyway, and so the actions that so far have happened are going to banks, going into the banks and doing dance parties, which is so Bay Area to me. I was like, right. But that has no relationship to, like, it's not interesting or innovative. Like, so what would be more interesting is those of us in San Francisco being smart enough to have a conversation about what would it look like to illustrate in the way they did in the UK, which is creative and innovative and wild. Not to romanticize, I'm sure they've got their own stories, but, you know. But I was like, God, we should, yeah, be doing cool militant actions like that, but not, you know, dancing in a bank. And so Glenn Beck actually made fun of it on TV, and I was like, this time I kind of agree with him. He's like, they're dancing in banks, what is that about? Then he showed pictures of Black Bloc, and he's like, the next thing you know, it's going to lead to a Black Bloc. And I was like, maybe, but I don't. So anyway, so I'm just rambling. So it's also hot, and you guys have been here a long time. I just want to end by thanking the folks in this house and saying you guys should give them a big hand because they've maintained this house for 10 years. And some of them, not you, but them, we can collectively, all the people that have been part of the space, and I hope you do an event to commemorate that you were talking about. But yeah, you should create more space in this community because it's really sad when one does, one goes away. And if people want to still keep talking, we can, but I also want people to be able to leave and thank everybody who played here tonight. It's been so great to be able to go around and hear music the last few nights. Every night, it feels like a real lovely treat. I get to go through people play great music.
Thank you for coming to speak about it.
Our discussion group meets every Sunday at noon at Java Station. Hope to see y'all there. That's all.
Okay, you guys gotta
read
your
list.
Yeah.
How many sliders do we have?
No, this is actually good because everybody always shows up late.
Yeah.
Do they hear a kitchen?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.